Oh, hey, your computer's working again.
Yeah, I told you that.
That doesn't mean it was still working.
I
honestly expected it to break again the minute you sent that text.
No, I removed the battery. It was no longer in whatever purgatorial state it was in, and now it's back to life.
Kill me.
I did. And then I brought it back.
Does this mean we can't take a trip to Micro Center?
Probably not.
Oh.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that was this close to having two medical evacs in the same episode. I am your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, watch where you step.
Yeah, instead we had a medevac and a mercy killing.
Yeah.
Hey, Stephen?
Uh-huh?
Is this the speed run of how often Jared can be confidently wrong?
He's Jared and he was wrong.
Every episode, I have said something that the next episode is untrue.
It's quite impressive, really.
And you know what's so fucked up?
Yeah.
I edited that one before, or no, sorry, I watched this episode before editing that last one. So I had to hear myself be wrong.
Yeah.
In the editing.
Isn't that fun?
God damn it.
What's going on, Jared? How you doing?
In my defense, we'll get there, but like Penner's stubborn enough that if he could have, he would have stayed.
Yeah, oh yeah. We were at a point, and Jeff says it later, like
He tried.
Yep. He really did.
I want to name and shame a game that I love that's also old and I'm mad at.
Sure.
So I love the Yakuza series.
Okay.
It's well documented. I've not played as many of them as I would like. I've seen lots of the other games. I've mostly just played through Zero. I'm most of the way through Kiwami. I've played 7. I will apparently never beat Infinite Wealth because my buddy's always busy that I play it with. And then I'll probably play Yakuza Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza when it comes out here in a couple weeks. That is the official title. It's just Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza.
Oh, damn.
Yes. But I'm playing Kiwami, and you haven't played any Yakuza despite my ramblings at you, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So, I do think I own one of them, but I never got around to it.
Probably Zero, and you should play it because it's amazing.
Okay.
There's a mini game in Zero that is pocket racing. It's RC cars, basically. And it's fine. If you want to, you can just look up a guide and put in the right car parts for every race and just win it the first time. They decided that was too easy because you're not controlling anything. You're just picking the car, or you're just building, customizing the car, and then it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we did the same mini game, but put RNG in there? And for those of you that don't know what RNG is, that stands for random number generator, which means randomness. It's basically a way in a game of saying, hey, we're going to calculate things each time differently, completely randomly, or somewhat randomly, depending on the parameters you put in there. And so, like, whether your car will, like, tip and you have to, like, save it, which you want to get a certain number of saves in a race, random. Like, it's not entirely random, but it's basically like you have like it'll be a it seems like behind the scenes like a zone of if your number is in this area, it has a 1 in whatever chance of starting to tip over. Except they made the races so hard that you have to pick specific parts that are higher risk, and then you just have to fucking run it over and over and over, and you can't control anything. And you can't just click try again. You have to go through the dialogue every time of him being like, oh, you should do this to your car. It fell off the track. Then talk to him again, go through like 4 menus to start the race again to watch it go around the same fucking track. But the substory is cool and the dialogue is fun and the items are good. So you want to do it.
While you were explaining, I was going to complain about, like, that doesn't make any sense. But you have made it a far better argument than I ever could have. So here we go.
There's one thing I can do with a professional level of expertise. It is complain about something that inconveniences me specifically.
What I was going to say is that you can pick all of the best things and still lose.
Correct.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
And I'm stuck on the last race. And it's 12 laps, and they are not short laps.
Okay.
I got to maybe a quarter way through the last lap last night, and my car hit the jump and like in the air flipped so it was facing the wrong way and I was disqualified. I shit you not, I spent an hour and a half last night working on Pocket Racer in Yakuza Kiwami.
Jared.
I was not going to let it beat me, and then I had to let it beat me.
You know what? Fair. That I get it. I have been on those grinds of like, no, I'm going to do this.
And if anybody is a Yakuza fan in our audience, awesome. But also, you can like time like a button you can click to so it like doesn't flip as hard or to save it. But even when that's going to happen is RNG, and it's a bar that depletes, so you can't just spam it the whole time, because if it does happen, you're going to deplete the whole fucking bar. So you'd hit like kind of consistently and hope it's not a big one. It sucks, dude.
I'm sorry.
But it's such a good game series. I love it so much. How are you doing, Steven?
Doing all right. We watched we watched separately the Super Bowl this weekend.
That's true. I didn't, actually.
You didn't watch the Super Bowl?
No, I was playing Pocket Racer.
You know
that,
what?
That was last night. No, I could have. I just was like, I didn't care that much. I love football, but I hate those two teams.
Yeah.
No, the text you got from me midway through the third quarter was, I went, oh, you know what? I've got a lot of sleeper notifications for only the Eagles. What's the score? 34-0?
Yeah, it was not a good football game. I was cheering against the Chiefs because I didn't want them to win three in a row. But it, once again, don't like the Eagles, so I should have gone back and checked. I remember we made predictions. I think I picked the Eagles.
I picked the Eagles, for
you
sure.
You picked the Eagles. Okay. Then I definitely didn't then. So, congrats. Jared was right.
Jared, listen, and it's a shame that the city of Philadelphia will now be razed to ashes.
Do not climb the light poles under any circumstance. Don't do it.
Jump cut to them removing the light poles and carrying them through the street.
Hey, they didn't climb it.
I think I sent you that TikTok, actually.
You did.
That's insane.
So yeah, that was Sunday. I ate too much food. I had a tummy ache all night.
Oh no.
Oh no. Well, here's the thing. I was walking to go get alcohol for me to watch the, like, I didn't have any, so I'm like, okay, let me go grab some. And then I passed this half Chinese food, half wing place, and I'm like, you know what, wings sound good, but also knowing that we have pizza on its way, so I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't get a lot. I ate too much food.
Wait, I know what place you're talking about. I thought those were two separate restaurants that shared the same storefront.
No. I understand why you would think that, because
they have entirely different branding.
The banner is split down the middle, and it looks like there's two doors, but they're actually just two doors that go to the same door.
The illusion of choice.
Exactly. So you walk in, and then one menu is Chinese food. One menu is American buffalo wings.
Wow. All right.
It's wild. The wings were good. I'm a little concerned that that was the thing that gave me the stomach ache, but the world may never know.
I mean, I've been too rich.
I could have just eaten too much food.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Too much of a good thing.
I tried a lot of new things, because there's also a restaurant that doesn't they do pizzas in conjunction with another restaurant, and it's very strange, but Mikhail was all for it. I'm like, all right, whatever, let's try it. And a pizza was good.
Okay.
It was just a lot.
Hmm.
Yeah. That, and also I've been playing the one video game, Sonic Frontiers, more.
Why is that the thing for you lately?
I don't know. And let me put it this way. It's enjoyable on the base level instinct, like, make noise, have fun.
That's fair.
However,
wow, I long for a brain that could just sit back and enjoy a game like that.
It has so many problems, though, Jared. It has a progression system where you can give things to increase your speed,
mm-hmm.
which is like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But there is a certain point where the speed is a problem.
Yes.
Because it's open world, but then platforms are small. So if you run off platform, you die.
That's pretty funny.
And you're in direct control of how your speed is. And then the other thing is, you know how rings work in most Sonic games?
Yeah.
Like, you get...
That's like the most famous thing of Sonic.
Exactly. Which is why I have to explain this. When you get to a certain point, which is your max amount of rings, you go even faster. Like, an absurd amount of speed.
Too fast, too sonic.
Too fast, too sonic. But another thing that you can upgrade is your capacity to hold rings. So therefore, if you upgrade that, you are actually hurting yourself because you have to collect more rings in order to go that fast.
Yeah, okay.
It's bonkers, man. But then also, like, I have so many things that I could complain about / poke at. You know how I said, oh, this is just trying to be Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom?
Yeah.
You know have you played those games, either of those games?
I played Breath of the Wild.
Okay, so you know the Blood Moon Rises once again cutscene?
Yeah.
This game has that.
Okay. Feels like a pretty direct rip, but all right.
It does, but here's the thing, though. Enemies just reappear anyways. It says, like, oh, they respawn on this, I'm going to call it the Blood Moon. It's like a shooting star comet or something.
Sure.
You're like, whatever. Okay, so then what's the point of this? You know what else happens during that? Shooting stars fall to Earth, and you collect the shooting stars, and on screen, there is a literal slot machine just happening. Like, you collect shooting stars to play the slot machine that is actively in the way of you doing things. It's bonkers, man.
This seems like they had a lot of ideas that don't go well together.
Yeah, but am I having fun? Sometimes.
Fair.
So I'm going to keep playing it.
And for Steven, that's good enough.
Yeah, honestly, whatever. I'm having a great time. I have other games definitely in the queue waiting for me to touch that I know are better games.
They're like, this motherfucker's been mainlining Crash Bandicoot and Sonic Frontiers.
And I'm like sitting there, the very next game on the list is Last of Us Part 1. And I'm like,
whoa, that tonal shift is going to be whiplash.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Last of Us?
I have. I didn't finish it. I don't remember why, but I think I got it. It was one of the first games I played because it was on the PS Plus.
Ah, okay.
But I was like, oh, I got busy with something else, so I never finished it. But I need to finish it.
It's great.
Because it's a great game.
I played it back on the PS3. My buddy who I lived with in community college had a PlayStation 3, and I started it up like when I had like 4 hours before a vacation and like going on like a family vacation or something like that. And I was like, oh, I can't go on this vacation now. I need to stay and play this. I did go on the vacation. And then I came back and fucking mainlined it. I came back itching, dude. I was like picking at scabs. Like, I gotta get my fix.
Picking at cordyceps.
Picking at fungus.
Ooh, don't pick at the fungus.
Don't pick at the fungus.
As we've learned from this episode, don't pick at the fungus.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Speaking of fungus, emails if you want to email us.
Are you saying that every one of our listeners is a fun guy?
A
gender-neutral fun guy?
I was going to say, they're F-U-N-G-U-I.
Yes, there we go.
Fun guy.
It's like how boy spelled B-O-I is gender-neutral.
Email us. Feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com. Or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT. Or on Patreon, if you want to follow us there, send us some messages, you can do that. Got a few emails today. I'm going to crank through here. Starting with Carl's episode 4 email. Uh-oh, you activated my geography nerd switch. The thing with the word Micronesia is that it can refer to two things: the nation called the Federated States of Micronesia and the broader region of Micronesia, which, along with Melanesia and Polynesia, is one of three regions of the Pacific Islands. I even have a map.
Huh.
Look at that map. That's a map.
Neat. I thought you were saying, and can also refer to, a small nation.
A small amnesia.
A small amnesia. When you haven't lost all your memory, but you've lost some of your memory, a micronesia.
That's good. That's really good. Oh, we're on something today.
Yeah, we're cooking with gas.
All right. So Palau, which is an archipelago. Archipelago? No.
I've heard it both ways.
I'm going to go archipelago. In its own right, is in Micronesia, but it's distinct from the Federated States of Micronesia, which in itself often just shortened to Micronesia. It's simple. Anyway.
Sure, yeah.
Picture the episode. Look at me. I am the host now, says Jason.
Jeff's big eye lean in like, what are you doing?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Gold.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen to me.
Although knowing what we know about how that vote went, that could be a completely different reaction.
Yeah, that's bonkers. Okay. Apparently, CBS didn't want to cast Mikey B, but Jeff and a couple of others campaigned super hard to get him on. I guess you can kind of see the potential, but it was definitely, it didn't pan out.
Yeah, I can see Jeff really liking Mikey B.
Also, personally, didn't like Mikey B. Thanks, Carl. Kathy, for what it's worth, she said she knew Ozzy was going to outswim her, so she just let him get it. I mean, I really doubt she would have rolled up her sleeves and hunted it down if she was there with, like, Eliza instead, but, you know, she was technically correct.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, she didn't with Amy. So that's the thing is, like, if it had just been Ozzy, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. But you also didn't look with Amy, or at least you told us in the confessional you didn't want to and then said a storm's coming, which it did come.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say, and we'll talk about it probably in the episode, did Kathy catch him? Because everyone just seems to now have unanimously agreed that Ozzy has the idol.
I think it's more obvious than the show is trying to let on.
Okay. Ozzy's also not good at denying it, to be fair.
No. But a few people are jumping to his defense. I don't know if that's from a standpoint of if we all group deny, then obviously it'll be more impactful than if Ozzy just denies.
The opposite of Spartacus theory. None of us are Spartacus.
None of us have the idol. Hmm. Oh, and you asked who the boob lady was. It was Tracy.
Right.
You know, the longer I got into this series, this season, the more I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense now.
Yeah. If you remember from the scene from the premiere where Kathy basically pointed at her tits and went, what are those? Yeah. Forgotten note from last email. Fairplay did say that his next target after Parv would have been Yao Man. So he was probably never long for this game. Still sad to see his Survivor legacy end on such a whimper, though.
Yeah.
Like, Yao Man was at least a top 10 character from seasons 10 to 20. And he has less presence on this season than Mikey fucking B.
He is literally too good to continue playing Survivor.
Just a big downside of returning player seasons, in my opinion.
Returning player seasons where you are that good at the game and I guess that expendable to your tribe. Like, Yao Man's obviously useful, but he's not James, you know?
Oh, stop. He says Joel's real name is Troy.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Huh.
Interesting. I don't know if that's... I'm assuming it's true because Carl's a wealth of information here.
Yeah.
But,
sure.
That makes it funny. I also wanted to include this email from Carl. The title is in all caps. It says, Steven, don't read my circle back email on the podcast or this one, just in case you don't have to. And I want to save you time. But here we go. I'm reading it. So there. I am, however, not going to read the circle back email because the circle back email was covered in what was. Yeah. We covered what happened, but
we figured it out.
Here we go. Anyway, from Connor. Connor says, look at Amnesia Island after this season ends. It's hilarious. I have a lot of admiration for Tracy. She only has two allies, and both are struggling for different reasons.
Uh-huh.
The animosity of the fans tribe was extremely bad, and having two shelters is something we will never see again.
Okay, that's crazy for that to be a one-off. And it kind of gets buried, maybe because Joel works across those lines so well. But, like, besides that little bit in, like, episode 2, I think it is, of, like, oh, the tribe divided and it's not going well. Like, it's, like, a scene.
Yeah. Looking at Chet slowly wasting away is hard to watch. It's been 12 days and he's lost so much weight. And during the punching bag challenge in the shallow waters of episode 3, caused Chet to get coral wedged in his foot.
Yeah, which we're going to learn more about this episode. Yeah.
And he's fighting a bad infection. To be fair, Chet should have probably gone last episode, but kudos for Tracy at making the most of a shitty situation.
Yeah.
For the favorites, if you guys feel like Amy is quieter, it has to do with being on the wrong side of the numbers and timing a move. But more importantly, her BFF sadly took his own life 2 weeks before filming. Oh. That fucking sucks.
Jesus.
Oh. Oh, man.
Well, see, that's funny because I don't feel like Amy's been quieter. I just feel like she's gotten less screen time.
Yeah. She's emotional and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Anyways.
She definitely does seem more like down.
Yeah.
Just in general or like maybe like quieter, I guess. Like she's not as like enthusiastic as she was in Vanuatu. I just chalk that up to being a returning player, a few years of maturity, kind of being in the spotlight and it not being as exciting the second time for her. But that fucking sucks, man.
But it gives context too of why she would latch on and like, hey, talk to me if you're feeling down. Like, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Which she's done a couple times this season.
That's a good point.
Wow. Context. Huh. Anyways, my question, do you think Tracy's underrated?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I think Tracy's awesome, dude.
Also, do you think fans are given an unfair advantage?
How?
Oh, I think you meant favorites here. The favorites are giving an unfair advantage.
Okay.
Well, I think playing once and even losing gives you a huge advantage.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, this is, they have such a massive advantage, not just in the fact that they are favorites, like I've talked about already, but like favorites that have Ozzy and James on their tribe to make their camp and feed them.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. That is, Ozzy is the best fisherman in all of the seasons, and it's not really that close outside of maybe like Tom. And even then, it's not that close, or like Tom and Ian together.
Mm-hmm.
And James runs a camp single-handedly.
I think it's in part why no winners were invited. They wanted to make a more even playing field for the fans. It's a part of why I rank players who win on their first try usually higher.
Fair enough.
Also, poor Chet was literally dead weight hanging onto a moving angry monster truck.
Yeah.
I know this is long. Thoughts on all and my questions. So thank you, Connor. Yeah,
thanks, Connor.
That was great. Moving on to Michael's episode 4 email. Hey, guys, I'll keep this short since I'm sure others will cover the same ground, but there was allegedly an unaired tie during this tribal council, which we talked about. Mikey B and Kathy have talked about it. Eric has disputed it, but also admits he may just not recall it anymore. That's funny.
Memory's a crazy thing.
Yeah. It's believed that Jason's begging the tribe to make the right choice occurred before the revote, but obviously unproven. Kathy also isn't the most reliable narrator either, and while I'm sympathetic to her mental health struggles, I am not as lenient toward her homophobia.
Yeah.
And transphobia on social media.
Ooh.
Oh, yikes. As some of the fan base are just... or not as lenient as some of the fan base are just because she's still involved with the fans.
Kathy contains multitudes, and not all those multitudes appear to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, she's certainly not the only one from this season.
Apparently Jason, maybe.
Well, there's even one favorite that I'm like, ooh, contains multitudes.
Ooh.
I've expressed that I like this person, and I wished more success for this person. However, certain relevant topics lately make me go, oh no.
Ah. Man, social media was a mistake.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of the Suri, Jonathan, Amy takes, but I will push back a little on the idea that Eliza is a downgrade from Yao. Eliza is amazing at puzzles and solely due to being younger, probably less of a physical liability than an older Yao.
Yeah.
As we kind of see in this immunity challenge.
I've been giving Eliza her flowers. I think Yao is just a genius. Like, the man, like, uninvents and then rebuilds challenges. He did it all through Fiji.
Yeah. I think she plays a large part in challenge success when most challenges end in a puzzle, and she's there solving them.
Yeah.
There's more to say about Amy, but I'll save that for when it becomes more relevant.
Thank you.
Also, I counted at least 5 moments this episode where Jared either unintentionally predicted the future or said a complete opposite of what will happen. Beautiful.
Good. Great. I love it.
I'm glad. Here's, moving on to the next email. This is from Tyler. This is something I did see and I wanted to point out. It, once again, relevant to what we're doing right here. Johnny Fairplay's grandmother.
Actually passed away. I follow him on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. That is wild that we've now come full circle on that.
Yeah, I mean, one day it was...
Right, it was an inevitability, but I'm just saying, like, huh. During Johnny's second season, we're now talking about
the timing for that with us is weird.
It is very weird.
Hmm. Well.
Yeah, much love to Johnny and his family, and you know what, Grandma? You, by no fault of your own,
became a celebrity.
Are infamous, so there you go. From Josh, one thing I don't think you are really considering in your analysis is how much the favorites are less likely to turn on each other because a lot of them are real-life friends.
Oh, that's true.
It allows them to work together much better, not only in challenges, but also in alliances as well.
I guess I assume some of them were also real-life enemies.
That is not far off. They also don't want to be known as a team of veterans who got beat by the newbies.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yep, and then also mentions Johnny Fairplay's grandma, so want to give you kudos there. And then let's go last one here from Carl. Carl's episode 5 email. Picture the episode. I see we added elements to this one. Now, it's very subtle. I don't know if you'll catch this.
So it's googly eyes with an oh shit over Chet's face as Joel starts dragging him.
Oh, 2 seconds later, him just eating shit. Oh, man.
Top 10 photos taken moments before disaster.
Notes. Joel actually asked to be paired with Chet. Chet said he immediately volunteered. Apparently, he said things like over, under, through the first time, but not really the second time, as Chet in this interview was very adamant the communication was not there.
Or Chet had a concussion so bad he couldn't hear any of it.
I mean, maybe. Kathy said it was one of the scariest things any of them had ever seen. Joel seems like a bit of a psychopath to me. If Chet had actually died on that course, how much remorse would he have shown?
Probably not a lot, to be honest.
I know.
Not the appropriate amount, I can almost guarantee.
Speaking of Joel, he was one of the least liked pre-mergers ever for a pretty long time. He even earned the nickname Truck Waffle. Jeez.
Okay.
He was also kind of confrontational in his post-game stuff, and just in general seemed like a bad sport from what I've heard people say.
He really rides the line for me between a villain I like and want on the show because they're a heel. Like, they're someone I can root against, but also find kind of interesting because he does have stuff going on. He's not just, like, he's not boring mean. He's strategic, like, interesting evil. But then he does shit like that challenge, and I'm like, oh, no, you are a danger to everyone around you, and I don't want to watch you on TV anymore.
If you were to place him as, like, a Disney villain, what would you place him as?
Oh. I mean, like, the one that jumps to mind immediately is, like, Gaston, but emo.
I was thinking Gaston, yeah. Someone who is...
But Gaston pretends to be good. Like, he's seen as, like, a hero to some of the people in the story, so probably not even that.
Hmm. Who's the... Again, Steven, referencing Mulan. Who's the villain in...
The evil Hun?
Yeah, where he's, like, actually brilliant and does horrible, horrible things. Murder being one of, like, genocide.
What murder?
What? No, I'm not even gonna say that.
Yeah, he's definitely the Hun from Mulan.
Anyway. Joel also said the fans tribe never even talked about the idea of a tribe swap, and they didn't even think it was a possibility.
You are fans of the show, of which has had tribe swaps since season 3.
Even with 6 of them being recruits, you think someone would mention it, no?
Kind of crazy to recruit fans.
I know, isn't that wild?
I guess maybe you just ask them, have you seen the show? And if they say no, we'll go watch it all real quick.
Yeah. Now you're a fan.
Or, like, only pick ones that say yes, I guess.
Things I liked. James calling the fans dingbats.
Yeah.
Jason's big goofy douche smile after he picks poverty. There's a picture involved.
Yep, that is a big goofy douche smile.
Also, James pretending not to care. I guess I'm stuck with Parv.
So this season has so much going on that they once again put footage in the last time on that wasn't in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this whole season, every episode is bursting at the seams. And you can tell just by the volume and quantity of emails that we get. But there's actually a scene of that where she walks up and Parv goes, oh, don't look so pissed. It was really cute.
It was cute. Also wanted to give one last shout out to Bro My God, who sent a TikTok video to me over Reddit, and I'm just gonna play it for you. But obviously we can't play it on the show. It's a clip from Letterman. I'm pretty sure this is Letterman.
We put the link in the info, maybe.
We'll try. But yes, this is from Letterman from when the original run was airing. You want to recap that?
Yeah. So it was from, like, post-Borneo. It was top 10 things I learned on The Survivor Island, as Letterman calls it.
You can tell he had not watched the show.
Correct. There's some interesting ones there. First of all, our boy, our patron saint, BB sighting. Right, there's his photo up there.
Oh, yeah.
Looking down on us.
Looking down on us.
As he looks up at us. he said, like, a few days in the sun and chicks think you're Brad Pitt. I mean, these are obviously not written by
them. That was written by a show writer.
There was one from, I think, was it Jenna? No, it was Kelly. It was Wigglesworth. That was like, if they ask you to participate in a reward challenge, or in a challenge, make sure it's for a reward for the show or something like that. That Stephen and I could only guess means like a joke at like sexual favors for the producer, yeah. Which is weird.
She said reward challenge.
Yes. Yeah. Colleen's was, now I know where I'm going to go if George W. Bush gets elected president.
Oh,
Colleen, you have no idea what's coming. Those were the ones that stuck out to me. Oh, and Richard Hatch was naked at the end.
Yeah, because we love a bit and we have to beat it to death.
It's a good bit.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's not a good bit. Richard shouldn't have been doing it, but for that Letterman segment, it's a funny bit.
It hits different pre-All-Stars.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funnier. It's funnier in, under that context. Yes. Yep. Yeah, definitely looking at it for at the time.
Oh, boy. Okay, anyway. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on March 13th of 2008. A couple things that happened in the week between episodes. Just one. Streaming service Hulu launches for public access in the United States. So Hulu was born when this episode aired.
I watched all of Naruto Shippuden on Hulu.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Shippuden.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's
not. It's a lot of filler.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's some really good stuff, but it is obliterated with filler.
Isn't Shippuden the one where they got rid of the filler, or at least as much as possible?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was the one where they're like, okay, now we're in the future, and he's an adult.
Oh, it's Boruto?
It's pre-Boruto.
Oh, okay.
It's like, theoretically, was supposed to be the end of Naruto's story, and then they're like, let's go Boruto.
Of course. Well, we'll stop beating that dead horse when it stops spitting out money.
The ending is good.
Okay. The number one song on the charts has changed to Love in This Club by Usher featuring Young Jeezy.
Okay.
I don't know who Young Jeezy is.
But he wants to make love in this club.
Love in this club. Unsanitary, but I guess a good time. The top five movies are Semi-Pro, The Bank Job, Vantage Point, College Road Trip, and number one, Steven, 10,000 BC. Have you heard of 10,000 BC?
Wait, I think this is Michael Cera and Jack Black.
I did the same thing. No? I also thought it was
That's year one.
That's year one. Dang, you literally took the exact same journey as me. That's why I was freaking out while you were saying that. No, 10,000 BC is something different. Mammoth Hunter Delay, Stephen Strait, Stephen is straight.
Thank you.
Has long been in love with a beautiful blue-eyed tribeswoman named Evelyn Camilla Bell. After horseback riding raiders kidnap most of Delay's fellow tribesmen, as well as Evelette, he sets out on a dangerous trek to rescue her from her captors. What do you think this is rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
I feel like now that I have pinned it as not year one, I have no idea what this movie is. So I'm going to go a critic score of 55 and an audience score of 50.
So I don't remember exactly when the writer's strike was or when it ended, but I can tell you that this movie might have suffered from it. 10% critics and all of our movies. Like, we haven't had a good movie. The Jumper's been the best movie we've talked about this season, probably.
Yikes.
Maybe Step Up to the Streets.
To the Streets.
The audience score is 37, with the consensus being, with attention strictly paid to style instead of substance or historical accuracy, 10,000 BC is a visually impressive but narratively flimsy epic. It had the picture. Look at the poster. You might recognize that. The man on the edge of the cliff with like the saber tooth coming after him. No, nothing.
I feel like I remember it from movie stores, but that's about it.
Same. That's all.
Okay. Well, cool. Then let us get into the episode. Episode 6, It Hit Everyone Pretty Hard. Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reward challenge where you made them die definitely did.
Die of sepsis.
Closer than I would have liked.
Okay. Anyway, we get into the episode. We're talking to Eric, and Eric was shocked. And Joel didn't show any emotion at all. I personally got shafted, says Eric. And you can't trust the favorites at all. Their tanks have armor on.
Sure.
That's a very weird.
It's a weird way to say that.
And if the playing field had been lowered to lying and tricking people straight to their face, then I might have to do something like that.
Hey, Eric, what fucking game do you think you're playing? What game have you watched for 15 seasons up till this point?
I'm a fan, but lying and deceiving?
Gambling in my casino? Like, what are we doing here, dude? This is like James Wake Up last season, except I think it'll have much worse results.
He is...
Or at least it won't have as effective results.
He is so pure of heart that he thinks no one is ever going to lie or deceive him.
Pure of heart, ass of dumb.
Oh, man.
Steven Tyler really, really is behind in the game.
He is way too nice to be Steven Tyler.
That's true. But his face looks like him. Or like if you played Guitar Hero 3, the singer that had the biggest face in the world.
Yeah.
That's Eric.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that is modeled after Steven Tyler.
I think it is, yeah.
Oh, just thinking ahead, man. So funny. Anyway, we start at Molokol, and Chet talks about how they needed us. We had no other choice. Joel was hell-bent on taking out Chet. Like, they're defending themselves of, we worked with the favorites.
Yeah.
And, boy, it was against our own self-interest, but we needed to take out Joel.
But Joel also voted for Chet, so...
Yeah.
At least I think he did.
Yeah. And then we explained this to Eric, but, hey, you're next, Mr. Eric. The favorites are going to take you out.
Tracy just being mama bear to Chet, literally just protecting her people so strongly. Mm-hmm. And later in the episode, against their will.
Yep. Amy gives a pep talk to Tracy about how she was at the bottom of the favorites, and this tribe swap was actually really good for her, but I wasn't a poop pants.
Yeah, I wrote down this quote, and I don't remember who said it, but the more you're a poop pants, the earlier you are out. No, it was Amy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Amy.
Is this because she's a nanny? Is this just how she talks?
I'm a poop pants.
Don't be a poop pants.
But also, she's just like, yeah, I get it. You're down. I've felt down. Things can turn around here.
My best friend killed himself 4 weeks ago at the time of her saying this. Like,
That's a little higher than being down, but yeah.
No, I know. It just like, knowing that context, it makes that speech hit harder of like, yeah, I've been down. It's like, yeah, no, you have been. I'm so sorry.
It makes the poop pants a little weird, though. I'm not going to lie.
I think that's being a nanny.
Yeah. And Amy talks to us. Maybe I need to play the game differently here. Maybe I got to shake things up.
She tries.
She does. At IRI, Penner's knee feels better. Like, things are looking up for him.
Doubt. X doubt. You can tell in the challenge his knee does not feel better.
I mean, better from I can barely walk to yeah. I can stand on it.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess.
James says, man, he's got to stick around because if he leaves, I'll be stuck with a bunch of girls.
It's literally him and all women now after the Penner medevac.
Kinda.
What?
Because Jason also is there.
Oh, I forgot because Jason goes to exile yes. right after that. Okay, yes, you're right.
Yes, but you're right. He went to exile. Therefore, at a certain point, it was just James yeah. and the ladies. Eliza's happy. I've been given new life. Talking to Penner, because Penner says, we got the worst beach, but we got the better tribe. Is he correct?
I don't know, but they keep winning every challenge, so I guess so.
Anyway, breathe new life into the minor group of four that was in dire straits and now can shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, and it's actually helpful for the favorites for
the
Arai.
Favorites out of the couples in Suri.
Huh?
For the favorites outside of the couples in Suri.
Well, no, it's good for the favorites for Arai now.
We're jumping ahead. What you're saying.
To stay away from tribal because they are down. They are now at four fans, three favorites.
Correct.
So Molokol can just keep going back to tribal if they want. I mean, they don't want to, but and just keep getting rid of fans.
Mm-hmm. That's something that could happen. So we do a reward challenge. Everyone has a big shocked reaction now that Joel is gone. Like, they got rid of Joel. Oh,
because everyone's like, how is Chet still here? How is Chet still here?
How are you still alive? I have no idea.
Just Please kill me.
Anyway, for the reward challenge, we have to swim out, collect sticks, planks, and stuff, and build a blockade.
Sure.
And then you swap. You get like 10 minutes to build a blockade. You then swap to tear apart your opponent's blockade just enough that you can squeeze through.
Okay. I do want to say when Arai comes in, they have like no music right away, and then they like flick up the flag really dramatically, and mm-hmm. the music comes in, and it is this really cool shot.
Yeah.
Just wanted to point that out.
Penner volunteers because he's like, I can power through this one. I will be more help here. I think he's thinking ahead to
the immunity.
Yeah. That if he may be in a situation where he is useless in immunity, so I'm going to play this one and just see what happens.
And he probably can't swim. Like, this is a thing, medically, if he can't participate in a challenge because it's a swimming challenge,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, hey, you actually cannot get in the ocean with that gaping infected wound, like, if you hadn't been medevaced, what does Survivor do? Do they just pivot to challenges that have some land component, I guess?
I feel like they would say, hey, you have to sit out, but you're going to play shorthanded, as opposed to, the other tribe has to sit someone out.
Mm.
Because it's not, like, we can't give you an advantage for this.
Fair enough.
But maybe it is an advantage for the other tribe if they get to decide, no, our weakest person doesn't have to play this.
Right.
I don't know. Survivor would have to balance.
Yeah.
So, they swim out. They do their thing. Penner's trying best.
We said the reward is the red berets.
Oh, I didn't say that, but...
Yeah, we're getting red berets. Not actually, but... That's what I call it now.
It's locals coming to show them how things work.
Yep.
And, they go collect all the things. Penner, like, falls and limps and does the best he can. Him falling backwards saying, I'm okay!
Yeah, he looks rough. I mean, to the point that medical pulls him after this. Like, Correct. They're watching him hobble around. They're like, that doesn't look good.
That's no good.
That's not how he's supposed to be moving.
No. And so there's just a lot of quiet building. For, like, a long time.
Yeah, and we see a lot of it.
And I get it. They're not talking. They're doing a thing.
I did write down another James quote because he's so cool. Come on with your bad knee, boy.
Yeah. So the 10 minutes are up. Then they swap sides. Iride just pushes through. They don't take much out. Like,
no.
It looks like Malakal is jumping ahead. Like, they're way in the lead. But... they just had an easier front, and then suddenly the back part is way more difficult to get through.
Yeah, this challenge is fine. It's hard to tell who's good at it versus, like, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of nothing.
The concept is fine. I don't think this is it.
Yeah, it's hard to watch as a viewer.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of, like, up until the end of who's winning.
Exactly. It's the same as... There was an early challenge where they had to, like, build a structure like this, and the other team had to tear it down.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's fine.
It seems like a retro Survivor challenge. And, I mean, that's kind of been the thing, right? That they're trying to replicate challenges in, like, newish ways.
Bring back the SOS challenge, you cowards.
No. I don't want it.
I don't want it either.
Anyway, Iri just pushes through, and they win. So they get two locals, but first we have to pick two people to go to exile, and we pick Chet, of all people, to go.
That just feels mean. That just feels mean.
They know he's not going to find an idol.
I guess you're right.
And we also send Jason. Jason volunteers to go be the other person and not get the nice reward with the people.
Yeah. Wait, that's true. You had to give up your reward to go to exile.
Uh-huh. So
I should have volunteered Penner. Then nobody would have had to go. It would have just been Chet out there alone.
So then as we're leaving, Penner's like, hey, or sorry, Jeff says, hey, Penner, don't go anywhere. We want medical to check you out here. And medical says, there's a big collection of pus in your knee.
Not what you like to hear.
Yeah. And Penner immediately goes, I'm not quitting. Like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, I won't quit. And medical says, I can only recommend for the sake of your leg that you leave this game right now.
Crazy that they can't make him quit.
Oh, they can. And they
do. Oh, okay. Because he does agree to it. I guess, you know what? They're being nice doctors and being like, setting the stakes and being like, you sure about that decision? And if he kept saying, no, I'm going to play, I'm sure they would have just said, no, you're not, actually.
Yeah.
We want you to feel like it's your choice, but it's not your choice.
Exactly. I think they set him up to be like, hey, make the honorable choice here and bow out. But he's like, no, I'm staying. If you're giving me clearance, I'm going to stay. And medical says, yeah, if this spreads to your bloodstream, you're going to die.
Yeah.
So we're pulling you. And I think at that moment, Jeff went, we gotta.
Yeah, once you heard blood infection, mm-hmm. it can be possibly fatal. It was, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want people dying on our Survivor show. Thank you very much.
No, it would be against the name of the show.
You're not wrong.
So Penner is definitely one of the captains that comes back for the medevac season, right?
We'll get there when we get there. Well, okay. I guess I can go right now. Hold on. Let me pull.
We can finish talking about the rest of his exit first. I just wanted to jump ahead because I am nosy.
Yeah, it's very emotional. He is crying and he has to go tell the tribesmates who I thought were like within earshot, but apparently not. That
they were close, but yeah, I guess not. Yeah. They were talking pretty muted. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it's all very emotional. I feel like this hit home and yeah. Survivor kind of gives him a an honorable discharge, I guess, is all I could say.
It's a rare situation because the people who've been medevaced are like, you know, Bruce couldn't give us a soliloquy on a boat. He was dying from poop.
Correct.
Redacted's hands melted off.
Yeah. Like, we had to get him out of there.
Penner's in a rare scenario where he got medevaced against his will, but he was still, like, he's coherent and able to, like, talk about it while he's getting on the boat and, like, give Jeff a handshake and be like, okay, guys, I guess I'll see you later. But it's, yeah, it is really emotional. And, like, the music's swelling, and I felt so bad for all the mean and accurate things I said about Penner.
But, yes, you jumped the gun. He is one of the three returning players that play Survivor Philippines.
Okay, yeah, I was like, there's no fucking way that they're not bringing him back in some capacity with the way that he went out.
Mm-hmm. So he is one of three medically evac'd.
Especially because this is the first medevac that I can think of that is the show's fault. Like, this is 100% the show's fault.
Mm-hmm.
This is their challenge. Their poorly thought out and incredibly risky physical challenge that caused this to happen. This isn't a freak accident. This isn't, you know, Bruce getting backed up. This isn't even people like the girl from Thailand who was like allergic to the malaria medication. Like, this is the direct consequence of Survivor creating a challenge that was way too dangerous for the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So how do you think he does in future Survivor?
Man, that's gonna be a tough season for the three people who get brought back.
Mm-hmm. We've seen two of them already.
What season is that?
Philippines. Well,
is it in the 20s, 30s?
25.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's gonna be a tough season to be a returnee because you have a target on your back immediately. And he doesn't come back for Heroes versus Villains then.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. If he's in the power position, he could go all the way. If he ever loses the power position, he could get voted off the next day from the way that he plays this game. He is very volatile.
Yes.
So it will entirely depend on how his tribe does.
Yeah, I see that. So, yeah, we'll have to wait for 9 more seasons to get there.
Wow, it's a lot of Penner.
It's a lot of Penner.
And if he wins that, then he could be in Winners at War.
That is true. The options are limitless. Just keep him coming.
I do like him. There did feel like there was a Jonathan-shaped hole in the rest of the episode, to be fair.
Yeah. Also, weirdly, Kathy, like, ran up to him, like, we need you. I need you.
She's a fucking weird one, man.
I only knew you for 3 days, but I knew that I loved him.
She sounds like a Disney princess.
And again, she's off her medication, but, like,
so am I. Get in line.
There were lots of people who knew him better, and, like, maybe you need to just let him go, please.
Yeah. No, James lost the brains of his operation.
Yes.
I guess Parv, but...
But, like, also, a lot of people on the other alliance just lost a key number.
Yeah. Yep. It means those favorites are going to have to start working with fans.
Mm-hmm.
Or try to break up the lovers alliance.
Yes. So he says, see you at the reunion. He gets on the boat. I don't want to be out of the game, but I don't want to lose my leg. Bummer.
Yeah, or your life.
Yeah. Yep. So James says, yeah, I needed him. I'm stuck here with all these girls. I can't woo them with verbal persuasion. These were his words.
I know.
The way Jonathan Penner could.
Penner has a way with words, sometimes the wrong way, but a way.
Yeah. At Malakal, the fans were useless in that game. They didn't really do a whole lot, including the person who builds things for a living in Tracy.
It's just a hard challenge to judge, man.
It is. But once again, dogging on Chet, he was once again useless.
Yep.
Ozzy says we need to get rid of Chet and Tracy. Piles on that she's a builder and she did nothing there. Suri says, if I had a surgery challenge and I didn't do anything, I would lose my job.
It's just like, she is not in the realm of constructing, like, blockades.
Correct.
Like, that's like you doing surgery on a frog. Like, you kind of know the gist, but it's not the same thing, Suri.
Yeah. I'm also not making CAD designs of my blockade to test structural integrity.
Right, she's not checking if the blockade's up to code.
It's different. But also, Suri, I didn't like this moment from Suri where she says, not only do we have to play the game, but we have to teach these idiot newbies how to play the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to teach.
A rare L for Suri.
Yeah. And then Amy comes in like, I'm sick of the fan bashing. I don't trust Suri here because she screwed me over once with Yao Man. So I'm going to go flip sides here.
Yeah. And doesn't get caught either because it doesn't work, but she doesn't get caught.
Exactly. I trust you. Okay. Says Eric. Eric is... I don't know if he's just understated or he's just funny to me.
He is very funny.
Anyway... We talk about if maybe Jason found the idol. Ozzy, teehee, I sure hope so.
Ozzy foreshadowing his own, like, idol play or fake idol play of being like, yeah, maybe Jason will find it.
Yeah. So anyway, at Exile.
Oh, we skipped the Red Braids coming in.
Oh, sure, yeah.
There's not a lot there. Just Parv flirting with one of the men of the Red Braids was very funny. And then I just put down, too, that, like, the way that they use the fishing line is so fucking cool. Like, I love these segments where they bring in people that know the area and are native to the area to teach them how to live off the land, because it's always is really, really fucking cool, the skills that they just naturally put on display. The China one was also really cool with the fucking birds with the string wrapped around their throats.
Mm-hmm. Did we see Joe? Was Joe in Palau? He looks so familiar.
Oh, maybe?
I feel like we saw Joe.
The only reason I say maybe is because I do remember a version of this, but I don't remember if it was Palau, where they introduced their names as like something like Joe or Steve or something. I went, that's not their fucking names.
I'm almost certain that we saw Joe.
I hope so. That's cool as hell.
Yeah. Just like bring him back. Why not? So yeah, they show him how to bait crab. It was really interesting how they like smash a coconut over a stick and then have to go back and steal or like grab them in the middle of the night.
Yeah, although crabs are gross, man.
But they are the ultimate life form.
They sure are.
All things become crab.
Because I've been binging BattleBots still, when I have time to watch it with a friend of mine, I've joked about the crabification of BattleBots, where eventually all BattleBots become vertical spinners.
Yay! Oh, it's perfect.
I only have one season left till I'm caught up.
And then they show him how to fish, too, and it's very interesting, but nothing we haven't seen before.
Right, yeah. It's just a cool thing to note.
Yep. So, at Exile, Chet thinks Ozzy has the idol, but he also admits that he has a piece of coral wedged in his foot. Not great.
Not great.
And Jason says, you know what? He probably does. I'm going to go around and look for things. Definitely not idol-related.
I think he just told Chet he's looking for the idol. He doesn't care.
Probably.
Chet's a dead man walking.
And he does. He does the whole trial. And he finds the stick that was laid there by Ozzy.
Which I do want to say before I clown on him incessantly, because I will. He found the idol. Good for him. Like, that is, like, Ozzy got there first, but, like, other people have been looking and did not get to the idol before Ozzy did. And he's the first one to look since Ozzy found it. Yep. So it's not like it gets easier each time either. So in that regard, good for him. Now let's talk about how he's a fucking moron.
Yeah, he finds the stick, Igor, and he says, I guess this is the hidden immunity idol. It's not much, but it's a carving of a piece of wood with a little guy in it. But that means Ozzy doesn't have it. What do you think of this?
I want to see the carving of the little guy. We can't see it. You just mentioned that Ozzy carved a little guy on there. I want to see it because it's probably terrible. It's probably like a fucking stick figure.
No, it's
a figure on a stick.
It's like three-dimensional shapes taken out of the stick to make like eye indents.
So it looks like the stick version of Plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy. Yeah,
that's
convincing, Ozzy.
Yeah.
I think Jason's kind of an idiot. Like, this would be like, oh, okay, so Ozzy found the idol. This is a fake. Got it.
Do you think Survivor played this up a little bit? That, like, only took the parts where he's like, yeah, I think this is the idol.
It could be a Jamie situation from last season.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think he's going to play it in a situation like this?
The tricky thing with a fake idol and the way they can edit you to look dumber than you are is if you have no other options, why the fuck wouldn't you play it?
It makes sense to me.
You're like, you can be like, I know this is a fake, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. And they can edit out the part where you say all of that and show you handing it to Jeff.
Yeah.
So do I think you'll play it? Yeah, probably. Do I think that he believes this is an idol? I think that we will have a hard time knowing the true answer to that because they immediately throws it in the fire. Even if Jason believed it wholeheartedly the whole time, he's going to tell everyone that he didn't and probably make himself believe and remember that he didn't.
Yeah.
I would too. Because there's some doubt in there. There has to be a little bit of doubt. And you just turn that doubt into the truth you believed the entire time once it's confirmed.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to watch the show clown on him about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And he doesn't seem like the brightest guy, so it's definitely a higher chance than I believe, like, that Jamie fully believed it, that Jason does.
He doesn't seem the brightest, he doesn't seem the nicest, so, whatever, we'll let the show clown on him.
Yeah, and, I mean, if you add in, to, like, he might go back to Kathy and be like, are you 100% sure that Ozzy didn't find the idol? And she says, yeah, I mean, I was there the whole time. He was doing things, but, like, he was never gone long enough to find the idol, then maybe he believes it even more. Or maybe Kathy called him. There's so many variables at play.
Right. Okay. Immunity challenge. We get the initial shock that Jonathan was evac'd. We had to, I'm sure, do this again once we brought in the returnees from exile.
Right.
So we're like, oh, look, Jonathan was gone. Oh, look, here come the exile people. Oh, look, Jonathan is gone.
Yeah.
Sometimes exile can get messy. Anyway, they had to go in and open his wound, clean it out in surgery. That sounds awful.
Yeah. Nah, it doesn't sound fun.
No. And I'm sure he was awake for it the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sure it was just an inpatient.
Gross.
Or outpatient. Whichever one's the one that you get to go home.
Yeah.
Outpatient, I think.
Yes. Jason says that Ozzy has the idol. Like, straight out calls him out. Ozzy's like, I'm not sure if he's bad at clues or if he found it.
Okay. It's not very convincing, Ozzy, but that's okay.
It's fine. We are then playing a game we've seen before where they're untying stepping poles, and we have to use these poles to cross a gap for two people, and then seven people have to get up on a tower platform and be above a certain point.
Another Cook Islands challenge, I believe.
That sounds right.
Because I remember Nate doing this one. So, yeah. Okay, we're just stealing all of them from Cook Islands.
Maybe the structures were left over.
Well, if you think about it, too, it makes a lot of sense with, like, Guatemala challenges not going to transfer as well. Vanuatu, I guess, could, but their challenge design for Vanuatu wasn't, like, I'm sure it was a step up since then. Cook Islands, besides Fiji, is the last, like, island one that they've done, and Cook Islands had a bigger budget. So, yeah, let's just use some of those challenges again.
Yeah, why not? And, boy, this is the difference of two different tribes here.
This is another breaking the challenge.
Yes.
This is more than we've ever seen. We might see a challenge get completely broken open maybe once a season.
This
is the third this season, and we're in episode six.
This kind of single-handedly torched this challenge from ever possibly returning.
Yeah.
Because Eliza just gets on the stepping pole and just hangs on for dear life.
It's a good strategy.
It's a good strategy, especially when you have James holding you up.
Yeah.
And he can.
And you can tell Jeff's pissed about it, because when Par falls and she doesn't hit the water, which, that's fine. Like, she fell.
She did hit the water. Her foot hit, but either way.
Either way, if you fell off the pole, so you're, even if you didn't hit the water, I don't think there's a rule that you can just fall on the people and get back on the pole.
Yeah.
So, either way, eat shit. But Jeff's so mad about it. He's so indignant that's like, no, you fell, get in the water. That I was just like, oh yeah, he is mad that they broke this challenge.
Yeah. To the point where you're watching that happen and then also watching Tracy do it the normal way, where it's step from pole to pole. And boy, you just feel bad, because they essentially get three attempts, the Irai tribe, to just bring these people over. And Tracy does it in one try, but it takes a long time. It
takes three times as long.
Yeah. To the point where Amy was sitting there, like, practicing for her turn. It was really funny.
Good for her.
Okay, I can do what they're doing. Huh. All right. And then she gets, like, two steps in, and then they don't get to do anymore because the other tribe finished their pyramid.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Irai wins.
Malakal lost four in a row.
Brutal.
Every single one since they merged.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And Jeff handing down the idol from the ladder looked really silly.
It did look really silly. He didn't want to get wet.
Took some of the dignity out of it.
A little bit, yeah. So back at Malakal camp, we're talking about how if Penner had to go, it must have been bad.
Like, and they're right.
That man would not go.
Yeah, Jeff says, like, if something like, if he would have, somebody said, oh, if he would have fought it, he could, like,
in tribal, he does that. Yeah.
Oh, it's tribal. Okay, yeah. He tried.
Chet then walks into this conversation. He's like, my foot is full of pus.
Put me down.
Yeah, send me home, please.
First he says he's going to open it up with a sewing needle.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm so glad that someone around him said, don't do that.
Please don't do that. I'm pretty sure it was Ciri, the nurse.
So part of... And this is from a very limited background in veterinary medicine. An abscess is like the worst thing that can happen to a wound, which is what happened to Penner.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like a cavity in your body that then fills up with bacteria and creates an environment where it can just spread without it being able to get cleaned out effectively, which is why they had to open it up and like literally clean it out. Chet went, let me create my own abscess. Give me a needle so I can just do it myself.
Let me do it. See what happens. Have I ever talked to you about the thing in my hand that I'm like, if I die from this one day, I would not be surprised.
No.
So I did a track trip to Australia and then Hawaii on the way back. Hawaii has breaker walls in certain locations so that like people and kids can swim without getting hit by the crazy tides.
Okay.
So like I was out climbing on the breaker wall, which is made of like stone, but because it's in the water, it gets covered with algae and slime and stuff. Well, I slipped and like put my hand down. So you
clumsy? Never.
Shut up. You can kind of see this line here where it scraped up against the breaker wall full of algae and like gunk. And I'm like, fuck, that could be filled with a whole bunch of shit that I don't want in my hand.
No, you would know by now.
Oh, I would know by now, but it's still there.
Ah, yes.
So, I mean, I went up and put iodine in it because that's all the lifeguard had. And I'm like, cool, ooh, is that the only thing we got here? All right. That's not great.
Bite the towel.
Yeah. So, there's a line in my hand reminding me that sometime a starfish might grow out of my hand. And
that'd be cool as hell.
That would not be cool.
Have I shown you this scar? Right?
I think so, but go ahead, tell the story. So
it's a long story. We can tell the story another time, but long story short, there is a scar that goes from the ring, like pad on the front of my ring finger, all the way up, like across that pad of my middle finger, up into like the first joint of my middle finger that required, I think, 17 stitches.
Oh my God.
I ripped it open from throwing a paint can where
you did.
I did tell you the story. The hook broke off and I wanted to slingshot it and
hate it.
Ripped my hand completely open.
I hate it so much.
I think I might have told it on the podcast.
You
actually
did.
Yeah. I like anytime like I saw your scar on my hand, I went, oh yeah, I have one on my hand too.
The vomit that is immediately coming to my mouth from that conversation. Gross.
Yeah. Oh man, I guess I did tell that on the mic. Wow.
It's been a while. Like right. At least a year since we've talked about.
Well, that means Lily heard it a month and a half ago.
There you go. Everybody else who's been along for the ride, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Oh boy. Yeah. And then Amy comes in and is like, hey, I know you want to go, Chet. However, like literally everyone is trying to convince him, will you stay for one more vote and take out one of these veteran players?
Chet could have been a Survivor legend. Chet could have gone in and went, sure, voted out Ozzy. And then literally the second Ozzy leaves, stands up and goes, hey, Jeff, I'm quitting. You made it to Tribal.
Yeah.
You have, Chet, I know you don't have honor. You don't need it. It's fine. Get rid of it. You could have done the coolest fucking thing. And I wouldn't have liked it because I really like Ozzy this season.
Right.
But you could have been legendary.
Yeah. And you know what? He wanted to, and I don't blame him, he wanted to make it to Tribal and he wanted to get voted out.
He did not want to quit.
He didn't want the treatment that past Survivor quitters had gotten.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't blame him.
Especially the treatment that past Survivors have gotten, like, magnified 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would have gone after a show and fan favorite, gotten rid of them, and then immediately quit.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine how pissed off Jeff would be?
Yes. Very much so.
Oh, he could have been a legend.
Yeah. And if I didn't say it before, Amy said she's going to vote with him and like go with him if you just follow through on this. So we go to Tribal, not knowing what exactly we came to the conclusion of. And
I will say Eric's crying about it to him in the shelter was really funny, where he's like, come on,
just do it. Well, because Eric knows his life is hanging on this too. Like, literally everyone, Eric, Tracy, even Amy is like,
but the way Eric whines about it is funny.
Yeah.
Bro, my mom said you could sleep over. Come on.
I don't want to sleep over.
Come on. I'll have popcorn.
At Tribal, Ceree's like, hey, if Penner could have argued the point, he would still be here. Yeah. Jeff says, he tried. Hilarious. Eric talks about what Jason said, put thoughts in my head. Maybe Ozzy does have the idol. Ooh.
Oh, it is... Oh, a minor point, but now these are all adding up against Ozzy, where he says like a cut. He's like, if a cut could take out Penner or whatever. And it's like, no, he got like fully speared, yeah. My guy. And like, this is now like the fourth or fifth time that Ozzy has said something that I'm like, I can't tell if that's just you being flippant or if you just have no awareness for what's actually like the severity of things around you, including like social moves. If you're just too chill.
To be fair, he was not there for the, like, dressing of the wound or the, like, the repercussions of this happening. He was just there for, oh, he got hurt.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
He got sent home.
It's just kind of funny and a little bit like, okay, Ozzy. You keep talking about things with a high degree of confidence that you don't actually have any understanding of. Something I'm not familiar with at all.
It's the Survivor way. Ceree defends Ozzy. Like, I don't take anything at face value anymore. Like, who are we to know who has the idol and who does things? Says the person who voted out a person based solely on the idea of he could maybe get an idol. And Ozzy, to really put a dagger in there, I'm not going home tonight. It doesn't matter what we talk about if I have the idol or not. If I go home tonight, I will get naked, jump off the dock. Chet's going, or I have no business being here.
And every person attracted to men in America and on the show went, all right, we need to vote Ozzy.
We had the
right
chance
now
to do the funniest thing.
And we want to see Ozzy run off this pier naked.
And yet,
no, I know, it's crazy. Chet, just a ball of goo.
Just one big ball of goo.
I know he's physically not doing well, and he has an infection in his foot. I do not blame him for any of the actions he has taken, but... Man, he has a quote where he's like, there always seems to be an obvious person, but they never go home. Chet, it's you. It's literally every single time you have been to tribal, you are the obvious person that's not going home.
He received votes at every single tribal he went to.
He says that like, and once we find the man who's the obvious target, we're going to get him.
When we find the man responsible for this, we're going to get
him. We will hold him accountable.
Oh. So he's voted out on a 5-2 line. Do you know who received those other votes?
Eric.
Eric.
Which, I think I know why, but why do you think?
I honestly don't know.
My thought was, Tracy said that she would never write down Chet's name.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably wanted to do some bullshit like, I promise you'd never write down your name, and I'm not going to do it now either. And they can't, you know, Chet can't vote for himself. So it's like, Eric, we're going to vote for you so that they don't know which of the favorites we're going after.
Oh, sure.
So we can make deals with any of them, and we don't put it on Ozzy so that he isn't, like, if we do want to blindside him later, he doesn't have any aggro.
Yeah. It's not a bad argument.
It's a good way to hide what you're doing when it's a vote where the person getting voted out is basically quitting.
I feel like I know the answer to this, but how do you think... How do you think Chet does in Future Survivor?
Dude, Chet is a first boot in most seasons.
Yeah.
He is not built for this game in any shape, in any form of the word. Like, not physically, not mentally, not socially. He does not have good game awareness. He is not good at challenges. He thinks he is good at challenges, which really downgrades his awareness. He only made it as far as he did because he was literally such an obvious target. People went, what if we just saved him for later? And that Tracy is Machiavellian.
Mm.
He should be a first boot or a second boot in almost every single season.
Well, he does not come back.
It'd be kind of funny if he did. Put him on the hero's side.
Oh my god. He does fill out a quarantine questionnaire, and there's a lot of interesting things here. He talks about his edit as the biggest, like, my edit in the show sucked. I could tell in my interviews that Jeff loved me for the auditions, but hated me on the show.
Ah, yes.
You're like, yeah, I get that. I relate to this. There was no real culture shock after I came home, except I am still cold.
Ah, uh-huh.
Yep. Never regretted being on the show. Only regretted some of the people I had to play with on my original tribe. Hilarious. Still is friends with a lot of people from this season. Like, even Mikey B, Alexis, Kathy, Eliza, Yowman, Johnny Fairplay. Like, all these people came out and stayed on his farm.
Oh, okay.
Even Boo.
Huh.
Came out and stayed on his farm.
That really makes me think that Joel was the one that Boo recruited, since Boo was involved in this season, apparently.
Would love to play again if asked. Still watches Survivor. Would love to have played with Jerry.
Interesting.
That's an answer that not many people say.
Huh. Yeah. Okay.
Also still works with Miss America pageants. So.
Okay.
It's crazy. He is an interesting human because he works with Miss America for these pageants, but also raises Scottish Highland cattle.
Hmm. What an interesting man.
And camels, water buffalo, llamas, New Zealand kuna kuna pigs, peacocks, horses, donkeys, sheep, goats. That's crazy.
So he loves the outdoors. He just shouldn't be put in a survival situation.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Survivor's not for everyone, and Chet is good proof of that.
Yeah. But yes, his foot was not good, and he should have been gone. You're right. If he would have survived that vote, he would have been, if not evac'd, quit the game very shortly after.
Yeah.
So I think that's why he chose to. Like, he was protecting his tribe by saying, you're going to lose two people if I don't go here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Your protagonist of the episode.
I mean, I think it's Penner.
That's what I would have gone with.
Yeah, the rest of the episode kind of feels like a dud once he's gone. I mean, really, we're just like pushing Chet underwater.
We're marching toward the inevitable.
Right, exactly. And Penner gets to go out in like a blaze of glory, kind of, or it's like a big dramatic thing, and Chet just kind of exits the show as he entered it with a whimper.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's Penner, and it feels weird that he leaves at like the halfway mark of the episode and we still have half an episode after that.
It's wild, man.
I was right that they still had a vote.
Yeah, you're right. You got it right.
I was half right.
You're half right.
We'll take it.
All right. Anything else before I shut this down?
No, man. This is such a good season. I fucking love this season.
We're having fun.
This is number one with a bullet. Sorry to spoil it, but like, I can't see it falling apart to the point where the rest of the season doesn't get that number one spot.
You're not alone. There are, this is a lot of people's favorite season.
It's just bursting at the seams. There's so much to talk about. There's so much. Clearly, they're not running out of footage. Mm-hmm. They have new stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. There are people that are really charismatic and interesting that are kind of buried, and I don't blame the show. Like, it's just like, yeah, what are you going to do? Cut some of the time of Jason, like, finding the fake idol? That's important. Are you going to cut some of the time of, like, the Ozzy potential blindside? That's a cool move and showcases people. So you're just like, okay, well, sorry, Eliza, you don't exist this episode. Or, yep. Like, sorry, certain people, you just aren't around for 3 or 4 episodes, basically.
Yeah.
Where's Amanda?
Who needs?
Where's Parv? Who cares?
Just reacting.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be around later.
Yeah.
So.
Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Jared, what would you like to promote?
Bayside. It's a band I like. I've maybe promoted them a couple times. They're angsty, but I've liked them for years. They've been putting out music consistently since like 2009. They're just grinding out in the pop punk scene. They're nice. Great. They're legends.
Nice.
What about you, Steven?
I'm going to promote Fixing Shit Yourself. I did a lot of that this week.
Yeah, you did.
So if you, as we talked about last time, my computer just like shut itself into this horrible state of not booting and not dying. So
one that we all live in constantly.
I had to open it up and physically remove the battery and replug it back in. I have yet to test if that is the thing that is causing the, like, arcing / popping. And, like, if that's the case, great. Then that means I can easily either, one, fix a connection there, or two, get a new battery. But if not, and it's near the power supply, then I can't do anything about that, and the computer's just going to have to stay plugged in.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You have a non-portable laptop.
Yeah.
I was wrong. Bayside's been making music since 2004.
Shit.
At least that's when their first album came out. That's 21 fucking years. Because they had albums come out last year.
That's like half of Green Day.
What?
Green Day's been around for a long time.
Yeah, not that much longer, really.
Like 10 years
longer. Oh, yeah, I guess they were in the 90s, huh?
Yeah.
I sang American Idiot at karaoke the other day at this really divey karaoke bar townie bar that is in the middle of Chicago, but feels like you're in a rural town. It's actually right by where we play D&D. I was like, I want to sing Holiday. I was like, no, they dropped the F slur in Holiday. I won't sing it, but like, it's still, I don't really want to, it's fine. I'll do American Idiot. They drop it in American Idiot too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Green Day songs that get retconned later.
Yeah.
But also sometimes they still say it, and it makes me go, huh.
Yeah.
They're an interesting band, full of liberal, skewed perspectives and horrible things that are said.
Green Day contains multitudes.
Yeah. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Fix shit yourself.
Yeah.
Lazy bums.
No.